Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Well, what's up, everybody? I hope you're having a great week so far. We're your hosts, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover. And our desire is to bring you tools to help your marriage, especially during this season we're living in, where you're probably around your spouse a lot more than usual. You're around your kids a lot more than usual. And our heart and passion is to empower you to have a healthy, vibrant marriage. And so a couple of things. If you don't follow us on Facebook or Instagram, man, you're going to want to do that, because we hopefully put out a daily dose of a little prescription, something for you, for your marriage, something to look at, to meditate on, to think on. And then every Wednesday we have a blog that's there for you. And then every Friday morning at 7 a.m. we have a new YouTube video that rolls out on our YouTube channel. And that's you can find that at The Marriage Adventure. If you just go to YouTube, look that up. We're there. A little short, 5 to 6 minute videos for your viewing pleasure.
Yep. Well, today is actually a Friday that we're recording on, and it's a dreary, cold, messy Friday.
It is.
It's kind of a yuck
day. Unseasonably cold.
So we're trying to think of things. We sat on our back porch today with, we've got a little gas fire pit thing on the back porch, and we sat there with the kids, and Josie wanted to, she wanted to just sing some songs. So you pulled out your guitar, and Daniel pulled out his guitar. And we sat there and sang some songs and just kind of broke up the morning. It was kind of fun, kind of for a dreary day. It was something different, something fun to do, and to try to pull us through just a funky day. And we've all been kind of cooped up in the house. And
Then we sat there and we watched YouTube videos.
Yeah.
We watched 12-part episode, 12 videos of this lady over in Amsterdam, I think. I'm not
Maybe,
sure.
Yeah.
Build a pool in her backyard. This woman was incredible. We were, severely impressed.
Well, we were incredibly impressed, but we also kept going, where is her husband? He's holding the camera. What is he doing?
Put down the camera and help her.
I'm wanting to have a fight with this guy just because he's not helping
at all.
And
she's got teenage kids running around. I know. She should never let them swim in that pool.
Not once. So I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I was getting angry at this dude, and I don't even know him.
But if I had to build a pool, she could come do it.
Oh, absolutely.
This woman was incredible.
Crazy. So, well, last week we began a discussion about fighting in marriage, and conflict's going to happen. You've got two different people living in the same house, trying to do life together, make decisions, and we're brought up different. We've got different personalities. And so conflict's going to come up. And we established last week in our podcast that the Bible says it's okay to be angry, and nothing wrong with that. But in Ephesians 4:26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. And anger is natural, but sin is natural too.
That's pretty
natural. And so it's hard to not sin in our anger towards each other sometimes.
Well, it is. And it's easy to allow our anger to incite us to sin. Mm-hmm. But Christ gave us a great example in Scripture that you can be angry mm-hmm. and not sin. And you can have a righteous anger. I mean, you can be angry about things, something that should be right or something that's good. And
anger about someone not helping their husband build a pool.
Exactly.
Their wife build a pool.
<I'm> exactly. That's very true. So what we did last week, and if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to that one first and then pick up this one. But we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 32. Now, if you got a Bible app or your Bible or anything there handy, pull it out. You might want to look at that. And we just started going section by section, word by word in that, and just kind of pulling some things out. And last week we pulled out two points. We talked about being truthful in your discussions with each other. A lot of times we like to manipulate. We like to turn the conversation to meet our vantage point or our point of view or whatever point we're trying to make.
Or we're not 100% honest because we don't want to get into a fight, so we don't assert our opinion.
True. Yep. And sometimes we're not honest with ourselves mm-hmm. about the truth. And so the first one was be truthful. And then the second point in that verse was to choose our words carefully. And it's kind of that, your walk is kind of the image of you're walking through a landmine and choose your steps carefully, because you step on the wrong place, you're dead. And it's kind of the same thing in an argument with your spouse, very similar. If you step in the wrong place, you could be dead.
Could blow it all up.
So choose your words carefully. You don't want to pull the pin off the grenade, because a lot of times what happens is when we end out an argument, half the time we don't even remember what we were arguing with. Bonnie and I were talking about that the other day. Something that happened years ago in our marriage. I said, do you even remember what that was about? She goes, I have no idea. Mm-mm. But we cause so much hurt that we make things way worse.
Well, and I don't remember what we were arguing about, but I remember the hurt that came out of the conversation.
Yeah. So today we want to continue with a look at those verses and talk about two more points or two more guidelines for fighting fair.
It's now time for Seriously Funny Dad Jokes.
Okay, I'm going to read some dad jokes, and y'all are going to laugh.
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Why did the coach go to the bank?
Why?
To get his quarterback.
Oh, goodness.
What did the fisherman say to the magician?
Why?
Pick a cod, any cod. That one really wasn't funny.
No.
All right, what do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. Which is faster, hot or cold?
Hot.
Yes, yeah. You're right, hot. Because you can catch a cold. Oh, you knew that one.
Uh-huh, I knew that.
That was good. How do you organize a space party?
How?
You plan it. Get it, Colby? Never mind. Did you know that milk is the fastest liquid on Earth?
No.
It's pasteurized before you can even see it. Past your eyes. Get it?
Nice. Yeah.
All right, no one's left. Why are skeletons so calm?
Why?
Because nothing gets under their skin.
Colby's
just making faces. He's
You're
not laughing.
Laughing.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
Well, today we're continuing our discussion about how to fight fair in marriage. And guys, it is going to happen. We're going to passionately disagree from time to time. And we want to keep looking into scripture today to find out some ways that we can fight fair and do it the right way. And we're picking up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you."
Oh, that last phrase. I think that's the toughest.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that in a minute. As Christ and God in Christ forgave you. But those are strong words. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and
slander.
I don't know what clams have to do with it.
But malice.
Put away all those things. And it just gives you the picture of us just completely losing it, doesn't it? Like, you know, you get in an argument and you just lose it and you grab the nearest thing and throw it, or you want to hit the wall or something like that. And I know we've all been to that place.
Surely we haven't, no.
Well, I haven't, but I'm just trying to identify. And this is the person that at one time we felt safe with, guys. I mean, this is the person that you said above everybody else, above all my family, my mama, the daddy, my brothers, my sisters, my best friend, everybody, everybody I've ever dated, I'm going to go to the altar. I'm going to make a covenant, a pledge to grow old with this person.
Yeah.
To show them all my wrinkles. Mm-hmm. And we felt loved by this person enough to commit our lives to them. And then we can get wrath and anger and slander. And I mean, it's just ugly how we can turn on each other, isn't it?
Well, and I think that kind of, it's a lot of times that's expressed just through screaming and yelling at each other. Like, it's like a lack of self-control. And I don't know, I think yelling to the degree sometimes that it gets to in these arguments, it's kind of a toxic form of control. It's that I'm going to yell at you hoping you're going to respond. You're going to engage with me and yell back. I'm trying to control the situation where you're going to yell back at me. Or I'm trying to crush you so you're going to just give in and say, okay, fine, I don't want to deal with this, and just give in to what I want. But
well, and typically these types of arguments aren't isolated. These types of arguments get to this point because we don't know how to communicate.
Yeah.
Most people just don't, and we don't, you know, maybe growing up we didn't have a good picture of communication, and then communication class in school, they don't, is that a class? I mean, they talk about public speaking or whatever, but is there a class that teaches you how to listen,
Mm-mm.
how to communicate, how to keep your emotions at bay and stay in the present? No, there's not. And so these are typically skills that we don't learn unless you're very intentional about learning them. And so what we do is we stockpile issues.
Yeah.
And we get so hacked off or bitter, resentful at this person that when one little thing happens mm-hmm. that at the right time, man, the dam breaks, the water flows, it just gets ugly.
Well, I'll never forget in our second year of marriage, I think I had not at that time realized that yelling was such a form of control. And I think it didn't take me long to realize I really couldn't control you anyway. I had control, I think, unfortunately. I tried to control relationships in the past and manipulated maybe through yelling or just trying to control to get my way. And
that's not what your psych professor told you.
Uh-oh.
in college.
Yeah, he told us, he said, because I'm the oldest.
And I'm the youngest.
And you're the youngest. He said, that'll never work because I've never seen, it's really hard for an oldest girl and a youngest boy to actually get along in marriage because the girl always tries to control and she doesn't want to submit, and that's not God's design, and it's just disaster waiting to happen. Now, he did say this before we got married and we ignored him, but I
might have taken that as a challenge.
Yeah, to tame me.
No, to not be the typical youngest, you know, what everybody thinks of as the youngest.
But I'll never forget in that second year of marriage, I won't forget what happened, and we were talking about this the other day, I have no idea what we were arguing about.
I remember where we were.
We were in our little trailer. We lived in a single wide trailer.
First couple of years.
Yeah, and
we were very poor.
Yeah, we were. And I was sitting on the bed. We had been in an argument, and you walked out of our bedroom door into the little tiny curve of a hallway, laundry room, towards the kitchen.
Laundry way, that's what we call it.
And I screamed something at you. I have no idea what it was I said.
I love you! Was that it?
I don't think so. But you turned around, you walked back in the room, you put your finger in my face, pointed at me and said, you're my wife, and I'm your husband, and you will show more respect to me than that.
I said it just that calmly.
You will never speak to me like that again. And it shook me up, and I had not ever realized how disrespectful and hateful just yelling came across. And I think I'd love to say that was the last time I tried that, but it took a couple more years of, you're not a yeller. You've never been a yeller. And it's hard to engage in a yelling match with someone who just looks at you like you're stupid and just is like, why are you yelling? I'm standing right here. And so I think it took a little time, but
we really after that we kind of sat down and made some ground rules for mm-hmm. what we wanted our marriage to be. And that was really early. And
it made a difference.
Yeah. It really did. And we didn't have kids for 13 years later. 13 years in. And and so there was a long time for us to be able to cultivate a climate in our house for communication that we wanted, you know, mm-hmm. and not everybody has 12 or 13 years to figure out how they want to, you know, communicate, but mm-hmm. before kids come along. But that was a monumental shift in our lives. And I think it's helped with our parenting and kids and everything.
Well, I don't think it was just in the rules we set for when we were fighting, but we set rules based off of this passage. Honestly, when you look at the it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And one of the things that we just said, okay, when we talk to each other, and this is the third thing. Last week we talked about letting your words be truthful, choosing your words carefully. And here's the third thing is just be kind and tenderhearted towards each other.
You know, Mike, our pastor, he does a lot of counseling and I do a lot of counseling. And the thing that we both have agreed and said is that I think that it would probably 80% of the marriages that come in our office for counseling wouldn't be there if people could just learn to be nice. Just be kind. I mean, you think about it. You think about your marriage. If you guys could do that and just be kind to each other and tenderhearted, like that verse says, man, what does that do?
Well, I know for us, one of the things we said in that trying to be kind to each other, just when we're talking to each other, I'm not even talking about arguing, but in the day-to-day, just saying please and thank you. Just, would you please take the trash out when you get a chance rather than take that garbage out or hand me the remote or get me some water. I mean, just please.
Good gravy. If someone talked to our spouse the way we did, like if somebody at work or one of your friends or somebody out in public talked to your spouse the way you did, you'd jack them up.
Or if somebody talked to my kids the way
I talk to them.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it would not go over well, but we
not
think somehow it's okay to interact with this person we're in a covenant relationship with. Well, they're here, they're stuck, they're not going anywhere. But if we're not being kind to each other, it's going to, man, if we're not being...
Well, sticks and stones. I mean,
right.
Words can never hurt. That's
well, if we're not being kind in the way we talk to each other in the day-to-day, boy, the gloves come off, then what are we saying in our arguments?
Yeah, you've got to be very, and we've got to be, everybody, we have to be very intentional about building a climate and a culture in our home during peacetime. And it's the same thing. I mean, if you're not exercise, and it's kind of like what we tell Colby with baseball, you know, if you're not getting out there and you're not doing your exercises and you're not taking your cuts and your swings and practicing the things you've learned out in the yard, when you get in the game, it's too late.
Yeah.
And it's the same way in our marriage. If we don't practice being kind and tenderhearted to each other during peacetime, what is an argument going to look like? You know, sometimes you can't tell a whole lot of difference except for the volume.
Well, I remember that. I remember what it was like.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go back to that. I feel like that we don't always get it perfect. We still say things we want to take back, and we come back and want to do over. But I think we've
and
tried.
That's another podcast about apologizing.
Yeah. Well, and that actually is the next thing.
That's true.
The next part of this is be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And that's forgiving each other and showing each other some grace.
And as Christ forgave you.
Mm.
Oh, man. That's where I think a lot of times we look and we just gloss over that, saying, oh, yeah, well, I mean, he's Jesus. That doesn't count. Well, are you going to – we can't void out the whole scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, what was God telling us to do something that he doesn't give us the power or ability to do? No, that's a very honest, truthful, doable thing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, I think once we get into, sometimes we go into these conversations and we have all intentions of being kind. We have all intentions of being truthful and saying words that build up. But when we get passionately involved in this conversation and we just let selfishness and pride take over, we do say things that can hurt each other. And the hardest thing for me to do is to come back and say, you know what, I was wrong. Because that makes me feel like I can't win.
It is so tough. And it's really tough with the kids, too. Because I'm dad, I'm supposed to be right. And I'm usually not. I'm usually not right. And, you know, and these kids, and like, they're learning facts in school, and I forget those facts, and they're so much smarter than me, and it's so hard to come back and be like, yeah, you know, buddy, you were right on that. I totally didn't remember that from school. But I love this this quote, and it's from the Grace-Filled Marriage book, Dr. Tim Kimmel. He said, the contradiction for the Christian is to be a willing recipient of the grace God offers us, but reluctant to extend the same gift to our spouse. Okay, I want to read that again because that's powerful. Listen up. The contradiction for the Christian is to be a willing recipient of the grace God offers us, but reluctant to extend the same gift to our spouse. How ironic that the missing ingredient in our marriage, when we act that way, is the primary ingredient in God's heart when He deals with us. And that's grace. Man. And here's the thing. I think here's the difference. And here's what we've got to remember. And when it says forgive as Christ forgave you,
I'm good with that. I'm good with taking His forgiveness. I'm all good with that. But then turning it back around.
Because here's this fundamental difference. Christ stepped out of heaven and on earth to earth to do one thing. His goal in doing that was to restore a relationship. Mm-hmm. That was his primary reason, to restore the relationship between mankind and God the Father. The problem is when we enter into an argument with our spouse, our goal isn't to restore a relationship. Mm-mm. Our goal isn't to problem solve. My goal isn't to understand you better and your heart better to draw me closer in intimacy with you. It should be, but typically the reason I enter in an argument with you is to win mm-hmm. and to prove my point. And that's the fundamental difference at the heart of what we've got to change. If I'm going to forgive you as Christ forgave me, then I've got to enter into forgiveness with a desire to restore intimacy in our relationship and a desire to restore a relationship and not to win. Mm-hmm. Problem is we want to win.
Sure.
More so than we want to know the heart of our spouse. Mm-hmm. And that's the fundamental difference between how, you know, what Christ did and what we're doing.
Man, that's hard. That's mm-hmm. the hardest part. I mean, it's all hard. You think about having enough self-control to just use your words, choose your words carefully and to be kind in those words but then to forgive when our spouse is messed up. I mean, we want something to hold over their heads, but on mm-hmm. the other side of that coin, we want that grace extended to us.
Oh yeah, man. When I mess up, I want you to, yes, please.
Just forgive me. But it's really hard sometimes for me to, because when we forgive, we feel like we're giving up power mm-hmm. and we're giving up, we're going to give up the upper hand in the relationship. But that kind of grace that we're talking about after we've messed up and the way we go into these arguments, we need to go in it full of grace on the front end, but it's cutting each other a break. It's putting our own emotions aside and saying, well, maybe my husband or my wife is going through a hard time and I shouldn't be so hard on them in this. Maybe I should look to have...
Sure, they're going through a hard time. They got to live with you.
Maybe.
Every day is hard.
But being tenderhearted towards our spouse, having that compassion and that grace, and it's assuming the best about my spouse, knowing, okay, we're for each other. We mm-hmm. said I do because we want to be in this for the long haul and giving each other the benefit of the doubt in our conversations that can be heated and passionate and trying to look for the best in these conversations. And it's hard when we're opposing each other on an idea. We've got different ideas, but we've, like you said, we've got to have the heart to understand each other better and to keep the relationship intact, not just win an argument for the mm-hmm. sake of winning.
And like we've said before, to most of the stuff we argue about, there's not one right way.
No.
There's not one right answer. It's whatever we agree upon. But there is a right way to treat somebody. Mm-hmm. And typically that doesn't happen when in an argument.
Well, we know how to, intrinsically, we know how to treat people mm-hmm. because we do that in the workplace. We do that when we are aggravated with a someone at school.
When you want something from somebody,
yeah,
you treat them well.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
We do that.
But we do. We know how to talk to people. Mm-hmm. We know how to control our tongue if something's at stake in the office place. Mm-hmm. But we just throw it all out the door in our homes thinking, oh, well, they'll get over it and move past it. But if we ever want to have a sweetness in our relationship and our communication, we've got to let things go and we've got to learn to control our tongues in the middle of heated arguments. And when it gets heated, we got to learn to back out and say, you know what, I got to cool off and I've got to be humble about this. And I think that we can go to scripture and just say, in this passage, God's given us some really great ways to engage with each other. And as far as forgiveness goes, I mean, we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and we know all this stuff about the love passage, and we probably even had it in our wedding. But I think the hardest thing is, because we want to stockpile weapons, mm-hmm. it's hard when it gets to that point that says love keeps no record of wrongs.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I do weddings, a lot of times couples will do communion together. Mm-hmm. And typically during that time of the wedding, the communion is set up behind behind me. And I just hit puberty really quick behind me. And and so they'll play a song, and I'll have their friends, family, congregation pray over them. And we'll just kind of slip back, and I'll serve them communion. And my microphone's turned off during this time. People are praying or listening to the song, whatever. And when they're finished taking communion, I have a short talk with them. It's just kind of that dad talk. Mm-hmm. It's that, okay, here's the talk from a pastor that I hope when you get in an argument, you remember. Mm-hmm. And I talk about grace, and I talk about, and it's 30 seconds. And I talk about, you're going to get in arguments, you're going to get in fights, but the biggest thing you can have in your marriage is grace on each other, mm-hmm. and keeping no record of wrongs. And I talk about that. And it's just that, it's that coach in the locker room. Okay, you're starting your life together in about 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And this is the best thing you can remember.
Yeah.
And I hope one day when I'm old, like older than now, one of these couples will come back and say, you know, I'll never forget you. I'll be on my deathbed, yep. maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe at my funeral, he told us. I mean, yeah. But it is. It's one of the biggest and most important things we can do.
Well, I think one of the ways we know that we've got true love in our relationship and is being able to look back and say, you know, I don't think we have kept a record of wrongs. To say, I don't remember what any of those arguments were about. Mm. Maybe one or two. But I'm not keeping score.
Mm-mm.
We're forgiving each other. We're moving on. And we're fighting fair.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm bad with numbers. I can't remember scores. I forget stuff too easy. So we want to wrap this up with a few action steps. One action step I want to give you is take that passage, Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. And if you're going to memorize any passage of scripture, that's a great one to memorize, mm-hmm. because you're going to need to recall that when you get in these times with your spouse. And then set some ground rules for your fighting with your spouse. And I think first you have to do, before you do that, is find some time to sit down with your spouse. Maybe you're listening to this podcast together. I hope you are. And talk about how you fight. Is it dirty? Is it fair? Is it very hurtful? And be able to listen to what they say without getting defensive, and then take that passage and memorize it and set down some ground rules
before you're in the middle of an argument.
Yes, during peacetime.
Yep, and commit to being honest with each other and choosing your words carefully and being kind and practicing forgiveness and grace in your marriage and in your arguments. And this is not going to happen overnight, especially if you've established a bad pattern for your fighting and your arguing. And but if you can just both commit to this and practice it and put your ground rules in place, it can go a long way to having healthy conflict resolution in your marriage. And that's a good thing.
I totally agree. Well, listen, guys, that's it for this episode. Hey, remember our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, all that. But go over to our website, themarriageadventure.com, and sign up for the Marriage Adventure Challenge. And you and your couple, go have some fun together this week. Take it easy. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.